Sorry, I'm old. You young people are amazing at technology.
I know, but sometimes technology is tricky, believe me. For me, it's complicated as well. So
I swear I did everything just like I was told.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like, we can do this in like this interview. It's gonna be on Spotify. It's only audio. It's just for the video.
I understand. Well, I can't say I'm disappointed. The photo.
That's my voice.
Well, welcome. Thank you. It's the other way. I have it backwards. You're hosting me. Route and work to find a manager and an agent, and I'm not opposed to that. I'm still pursuing that. But what happened was I was so frustrated with the process of who I could trust that could create a quality, proper formatted book with great cover art. I finally found a great artist through the New York Students Arts League who's going to do my covers, but online it's overwhelming. So what happened is I actually went back to my roots. I'm a graduate of NYU film, theater, and writing programs. And so I went back to my roots and went and joined a playwriting group and a theater group, and ended up realizing that, at least in today's world, it feels like with AI and all the online stuff, that what we're missing is community. Art writers' communities. You know, one of my heroes when I was young was Dorothy Parker, a great writer who was helped found the Algonquin Round Table of Writers. And so by re-engaging with the theater community, not a writing community, I ended up meeting a bunch of people that write. And a good friend of mine now has written multiple books, and I'm re-engaged with him. And it's inspiring to get out there. Writing is a very internal process that you do in the privacy of your own home. But what this reminded me is how important it is to also engage with other writers. And so it reinvigorated me. It made my writing better. And what I did was I actually took a portion of my book and created the first act of my play. So I know I'm an anomaly, meaning this is a little different, but it's actually not, because I took part of my book and converted it into a first act of a play because I could get it out there to the world. And nowadays, I think so many of the artists I'm meeting, writers and playwrights and actors, are all struggling to connect. And so by me reconnecting and putting my writing in this play, it's out there. And so the first act of my play is I stole from my own book. And it's changed a little. I had to rewrite it a little. And that's fine. It's a slightly different story. But it also made me re-examine what I wrote, right? And you go through it with fresh eyes. So now the next phase for me is to continue to work on, I met with somebody today about getting a website up and being able to put up my books. Because to me, controlling my IP is part of my goal, which is if I'm reaching out to the traditional publishers, they control so much of your work once you sign the contract. And
yeah,
given that
it's going to feel like there's not you anymore, right? You need to really be careful.
And that's my problem, is that there was an article in the New York Times a while back where a group of agents had left one of the big publishing houses and said they were creating a new, they were going to approach reaching out to authors differently, and it was going to be new. And I wrote immediately the morning of the article. I mean, I'm very engaged in reading and writing. And I wrote an email to this agency. I found their website, emailed them. To their credit, they responded, but their response was, well, we're only looking at agented authors. We're only considering authors who already have agents. And while I can respect that, I understand that there's a lot of bad writing out there. This is what writers are up against. You can either go the traditional route or you can self-publish. And with all due respect to the people that now control the self-publishing world, a lot of the product out there is also subpar. You can find tons of freelancers who want to do your cover for a few $100s, but it's not very creative. I'm old. I grew up when book covers were posters and concert posters. You know, when you went to see the Grateful Dead, you would buy their poster and frame it and put it on your wall. And, you know, AI is a tricky thing, and I'm not anti-AI, but I wrote my books, not AI. I don't want the covers to look like they were designed by somebody who spent 20 minutes manipulating AI. I want to create a piece of art, and I'm willing to pay for it. I had artists that I've come into contact with. It's also hard in that world. You know, you can go anime or other ways, but how do you meet with somebody who wants to work with you on more than one book, right? I want my book series to have the same artist to create the art for at least the first three books, you know? And I finally met somebody, but it was through networking. In New York City, it amazed me. I live in the center of the arts community, hypothetically one of the centers in the whole world, how hard it was just to find other writers, other artists. And part of the problem is they're all in their own little bubbles and nobody talks to each other. They all do it online or whatever. But getting out there, thinking about my book writing differently, allowed me to meet people. And that's sort of the weird story I'm on. And so this play festival I joined is actually an outgrowth of not thinking about my books as linearly as perhaps you could. You can go to, you know, you can just sit in your room and write your books till your heart's content. But at some point, you want to get them out into the world. And so that's why. And when I saw this, I was like, oh God, this isn't a correct. I'm looking at this differently. But for me, it was a powerful experience meeting other writers who are like, yeah, the world has changed. You can't think about book writing just as writing, you know, the next great American novel, because you also have to be good at marketing and Instagram and YouTube. And I'm good at none of those things, but all the young authors I'm meeting, they're like, well, you'll never get it out there if you don't also figure out how to work these other means of marketing. And that's a learning lesson for me, but I think it's relevant to other authors, because I know it is. I'm a member of like at least 15 different Facebook writers groups, and I hear them people constantly talking about Spark Ingram, Amazon Kindle, you know, this and that. Where do I find a good artist? There's companies in Ukraine and South America that use AI. Are they any good? Can I trust them? Can I give them my money? You know, and I'm fortunate in that I can afford to pay somebody, but I still want the result to be what I want it to be. So that's kind of my spiel. And, you know, and you're outside the box. I was like, oh, doing a podcast, does that make sense? And I was like, hell yeah, this is me living into that outreach.
Yeah, this is you adapting to a new like era, social media, like those kind of things that you say, like if you are not on Instagram or if you don't have even your webpage, it's like, okay, you need to put yourself out instead of being like an old fashioned that you just display your book and you find a published company and that's it. Now it's like marketing.
Exactly.
But thank you. Like, thank you for accepting this, for being here. Like,
thank you for having me. I know I talked nonstop. You didn't really ask me any questions. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, because this is your space. This is for you. Like, one of my questions, it's always like, what do you face any challenge to the process of writing? And this is something that probably no one speaks of, like, all of these words that is like sometimes confusing, that it's a lot, that you have your own ideas and you want to show those ideas to the readers, now to the listeners, like to show you as you are, not like an AI thing.
Right.
And for me, that's like something to defend. And that's why we ended with this podcast, to show our public that there's authors that they want to speak about their challenges, about their processes of writing. Why my question was like, this is like a play. It's not like just a book, because it's another way to transmit like your way to write.
Correct.
Like based on a performance, not like in a book. At the end, right, it's going to end probably in a movie, in a performance, in a play.
Well, from your lips to God's ears. I'd love to have a producer produce it. But it all came out of a book. And, you know, that's it, the words matter. But if you're, it seems like, my humble opinion, you know, it used to be that the art salons, you could just hang out with a bunch of writers and somebody would end up saying, oh, I'll publish your book. And it does not feel that way to me anymore. It's not that linear. It's the playing field is very different than how I was raised to read. You know, you went to a bookstores are struggling to sell books. So people sell books online, but that means you have to have a social network, you know?
Yeah. So online, it's the whole market, right? It's like a huge competition, not just go to the bookstore and buy the book. It's like, you can find it online.
Yeah.
And it's easier.
Well, and in Amazon, you pay for ads to get your book to become more popular so that people can see it. That's a whole new world. That's not, you used to, you know, you buy the book, you walk in, is the cover art beautiful at the table? Is it placed at the front of the store? You get, you know, you socialize, you meet somebody who's, you know, famous, and oh, will they talk about your book? I mean, that stuff still exists, but now it's also 100 other things. So
yeah, it adds more like a struggle to, you know, you make your book on the stage now, on the top, on the world of all the writers and authors of a lot of books. But for me, this is like this is your safe place. Feel free to say what you want to say. Like, for me, I want to know first a little bit about you. Like, what was the first thing that you thought when you start writing? How do you begin in your journey as a writer?
My father, you find, as a good parent, finds the time when you're a little child and you're laying in bed, and he was amazing at it. And he would come home from work every day and read Lord of the Rings, Narnia, you know, C.S. Lewis. But not just that, he would Alice in Wonderland. But also, like, The Cricket in Times Square was one of my favorite books as a small kid in from rural Maine. The concept of New York City was this big, unimaginable place. And then the cricket, you know, in Times Square, it's this little creature in this big, glowing, crazy place. And then fast forward, I'm 21 years old. I moved to New York to attend NYU and go to theater and writing school. And I'm the cricket, you know? And that's what writing ultimately is, an expression of living. And across all the planet, we need more art, we need more writing, and that's where I'll loop back very quickly. We need writers to connect with each other and lift each other and elevate each other, because it's so easy to get buried in your own head. And I'm somebody, you know, when you think back to junior high, and you were, did you only sit at the lunch table with the nerds? Or did you also go sit at the table with the jocks and the theater kids and the goth kids or the anime kids? And I have always been one of those people who break just my entire life. I always wanted to break down those barriers between people, because there's something to learn from each of those people. And that's what I write about. That's what my books are about. It's sci-fi. I describe it as one of my generation's favorite movies. But I describe my 8 books that are complete as The Breakfast Club meets Star Wars. So if you've ever seen The Breakfast Club, and then everyone's pretty much seen Star Wars, it's real life high school meets universal, you know, silliness. You know, like, I always joke, if aliens ever landed on Earth, we better all hope they're nice, because we wouldn't stand a chance. You know, the Independence Day movies are hysterical. The concept that we could fight off aliens if they were hostile and came to Earth is a fiction, because we can't even get along amongst ourselves. So, you know, but so this is sort of a play on the concept. My books are a play on the concept that if aliens came here, how would we interact with them as high school students? So how would the lunch table, what would the lunch table look like, you know?
It's going to be crazy. I'm just imagining all those scenarios in that breakfast. And it's good humor. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's good humor, right? Like, humans are silly, and we should all get, you know, it sounds cheesy and trite. We should all get along. But at the same time, we deserve to, as artists, we have to treat each other with respect, but also push each other to create. The business is real. The business of writing is real. You cannot avoid it. Unless you just write in the privacy of your own home and keep it for yourself. And there's no shame in that. But if you want it out in the world, then you got to deal with what's in the world.
Yeah, that's true. And another question, you mentioned some of the books. Can you name the books that you work on it? Like those?
Yeah, the series is called Empire of Light. And the first book is called Union. Now you're going to make me, you got me. I have them right here. It's not a problem, but now you've called me out for, can I name all the titles of my books one after the other? Hold on a second. They're right in front of me.
No, it's okay.
Good for you.
A lot,
you.
Right?
Yeah, well, there's 8 of them.
I was shocked that it was like a 8 titles, so that's why I asked, because...
No. You have to understand, this started during COVID. So I've written my whole life, but there was something about COVID while brutal, you're locked in to your own, you know, sort of world all at once. But at the same time, it was freeing for me because I just wrote, you know. I'm blanking on his name at the moment, but the idea is an incredible, people have asked me, how did you write all that? And the answer is, you just write, right? You have to do it. If you write 2 hours a day, I have a sign taped to my wall that has a dollar bill taped to it. And it says 365 pages a year is a book. And it, all you have to do is write one page a day. And in 1 year, you'll have a book. And so you have to write. It's not easy. But once, maybe I mature, grew, I'm old enough that I couldn't do it in my 20s. I was too distracted by life, right? But then as I got older and then COVID hit, it changed me. And I just wrote every day, 10, 15 pages. And then I would edit. Editing stinks. But, you know, I did it. So, and I mean, you know, I'm still doing it. That's the truth. I mean, I'm not done because I have to get it out there in a perfect format, or if not perfect, in a format that I can live with, that I can publish and be confident and comfortable with. Because that's what matters. I don't care if I sell a million books and make a ton of money. I just want to know that the product I will stand up within the next year makes me happy. Because nothing is perfect. Hemingway, none of the authors you read about, any author, Steinbeck, all of them, when you read their biographies, will be self-critical. You can't be a good writer if you're not self-critical. But hopefully not so self-critical that you tear yourself down and don't put your work out there ever.
Yeah, that's true. I was also curious about your play. You mentioned that there's going to be a play on June
6th at 8 p.m. and June 8th. Did I get that right? Author who's written 5 books, self-published. And so that's why I started this conversation with community. That community of artists matters to how much you create and how you and what you create. It really does.
And like how it's like writing a play different from other form of storytelling. Do you enjoy to write like a play? It's different.
Yeah. I mean, I love all forms of writing. Maybe that's something different for me than somebody else. I've never had a problem writing in different. I mean, you have to think about it differently. You know, the editing probably is very different. Editing. I mean, when I stole my first act and converted it to a play, and then you hand it to the actors, and there's all these things that are filling in the spaces of what he did, what she did. You have to eliminate that because you can't tell him. You got to let the actor have the space. In a book, when you write it, you're like describing the world that these characters live in. But in a play, they're on stage and the actors have to live it. So when I printed it the first time and handed it to the two actors, they kind of looked at me like I had 2 heads. And then I had to go, no, just cross out all these descriptions, you know, his, like in a book, you would say the character blushes, right? But on a stage, you don't want to tell the actor he has to blush. He has to blush if he feels like blushing because the other actor made him feel that way. The first act of the play is about young love, high school love. And it's also the first act of my, or the first chapters of my book. So I stole from the book and converted it to a play. But so some of the differences is between playwriting and book writing are just context, right? On a play, in a play, you don't care that the trees are green, right? In a book, you might say the trees are green because it's spring and young love in the spring. So that's one difference. But in any case, but it's been fun to just think about it differently. And it's also about, I don't want to curse, but it's also about in art, there are moments where one of my best acting teachers ever said, sometimes you just have to say F it and go do it. And I think that is applicable both for writing and for acting, you know, because my books could have just been sat in my computer for the next 10 years. But now I'm putting my money where my mouth is, you know. So here I pulled up my list of titles. So the title series is Empire of Light. Book one is called Youth. Book two and book three, well, it's book two, is Union. Book three is Hierarchy. Book four is Reality. Book five is Battlefront. That's when the aliens and the humans are finally fighting. Because, of course, you know, I'm a boy. So you got to eventually, you know, get to the battle scenes, you know. The lightsabers. There's no lightsabers. That's owned by George Lucas. But, you know, all honor and privilege to George Lucas and Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings. They all deserve my imagination from when I was a child.
And what it's like seeing your words come to life to actors, directors, what is it? What
so is, much, what do you make? So yeah. Much fun. That's what I mean. It inspires you. You know, it makes you go, I met a talented young woman who I couldn't even cast in my play because she didn't meet with the other actor, meaning they weren't going to work together in the way that I needed them to. But now I want to write a movie script. I'm working on a little movie script where she would be amazing in, you know, sort of a gothic horror movie thing. And it's all because I was casting a play that I met her, and her talent was just luminous. She was so fierce and just fun. And so I wrote her, do you write? Well, not really. I'm like, do you really not write? And she wrote me back, well, actually, I mean, she's an 18-year-old young woman. She goes, well, I write a little. And I'm like, all right, we're talking now. You know, like, I want to see what you wrote. And so part of this for me as an older man with children of my own is that I think if you're older and successful, and that's one of the other frustrating things in the arts community, if you've made it, who are you mentoring? I haven't made it in the arts community, but I'm very successful in my regular job. And so, and as a parent and as an older person, you know, I'm not old, but I think it's my responsibility to help people believe in themselves. And if you're, you know, it's not just talent. Talent is 40% of it. 60% of it is hard work. And that's where I have the upper hand at this point in my life, because I've learned over 50 years what the hard work that goes into the success in anything is. I'm building a house right now, or rebuilding a house. You know, I know construction, and building a book is the same. It really is. Like, you start at the foundation, eventually you get to editing, and then more editing and more editing. And, you know, when you're young, you don't have necessarily the discipline to spend the time to, I mean, the first book is 28,299 words. The second book is 25,514 words. And I could go on and on, because I have a silly Excel list where I do word count and keep every chapter listed. And that's not very, that's no part of that is creative, but it is the business of putting a book together. Right. You know, because they say, oh, a sci-fi book should be in the about the 30,000 range word count. Well, okay, so I didn't write my books with 30,000 words in mind. I just kept writing. But then when you think, oh, I have 60,000 words here, well, that's not really one book, that's two books. So you take off your writer hat and you put on your analytical hat and your business hat and you say, okay, so now I have two books I've written. And then you just keep writing creatively. But at some point, that's where you say, okay, I have a business model here. Now I need to get a cover artist. And now I need to get a website and so forth and so on. And that's where I am. That's the stage I'm at, which is take the product I've created and make it saleable. On the business side, I still am writing on my private side. It's hard. It's really hard to do both. I never could have done it when I was 20. Probably never. I couldn't have done it when I was 30. You know, but now I'm older and I'm able to multitask in a way I wasn't when I was younger. You know, for a young, brilliant, you know, you write your first great novel at 20, God bless them. You know, if somebody can do that, they're smarter than me. And get it published, I mean, you know, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's not easy. And for me, it's like a very good effort. You're an example of what we can do, like not have those expectations or believe that we can. Like sometimes you're too shy to share those kind of like writing things that you like, or probably I wrote something, but I'm not sure if it's good. And if you think in that way that, you know, just write what you feel, and that's something that is going to inspire a lot of listeners. And I have another question, like what is next for you? I know you're writing, you have a play, now you have a lot of roles in your life, but what is what is next?
Well, the next thing is I'm paying this artist who I met through networking to design the first three book covers of my book. And just today met with somebody to create a website. I don't know whether she knows about this stuff. I don't know whether it's Shopify or what it is, but to create a website that I can put the books up on and start selling them. And, you know, and then I have to do the marketing and the, you know, I have to go probably, you know, go down to my local, and then you can print them. There are companies out there that print books, right? But then they want you to also buy their other services, cover design and this and that. But if those cover designs don't match your, then you have to make a choice, right? I'm willing to spend this much on a cover artist or not. And I'm not knocking anybody. Money matters. I get it. But so the next phase I'm at is turning these into a saleable product, and then still writing in my spare time if I have any. But there's a freedom when you start to get it out there. At some point, you can let it go, right? Because you talked about it just a minute ago. So many people look at their writing and are self-critical and don't believe in it. And it's fair to be critical. But at some point, there you just have to let it go. You create it. You finish it. You say, that's the book I wrote. That's it. And you keep going. Because you can always go back and rewrite it, re-edit it. It's yours. Nobody can tell you, oh, it's not your book. Right. And I think a lot of people get caught up in, I know I did when I was younger. It has to be perfect before I let anybody see it. That is debilitating to your creative output. That is the thing that bothers me the most about me and my youth, how much I wrote 2/3 of the book and stopped because it wasn't perfect. And that changed basically later, the older I got and during COVID, I said, just finish. Forget if it's perfect. What there's a, you know, there's an old expression, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And as a writer, that was debilitating to me for much of my life. You know, you got to write, you have to write. But at some point you have to also say, okay, this is as good as it can be for right now. Right? The one thing none of us can change is time, the passage of time. We grow, we get older. And what I wrote last year is maybe not as good as what I'm going to write this year. But I wrote it and it's done. I put, you know, for a writer, when they write in a movie, you know, fini, or at the end of a book, you write the end. That's a very pleasurable two words, the end.
Yeah, it will feel like, okay, now you're relaxed. It's the end. It's the end of a journey, right?
Yes.
But thank you so much, Patrick Loughton. Thank you for it. It has been a pleasure for me to having you on Authors Radio. And thank you for giving us like your perspective, all your challenges that have you faced, and for sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check his book,